Over there. So we're thinking about prayer, and we're looking at all sorts of different prayers in our morning service series at the moment. Today, we're thinking about being persistent in prayer. Leading up to our day of prayer and fasting on the 23rd of September. I hope that everybody will, who's connected with our church, whether you're a member or not, will be joining us as we seek God together for growth and for wisdom and unity. Do come along. It'd be great to see you there. We'll tell you what's going to happen a little bit nearer the time. So today we're thinking about two parables about persistence in prayer. Sticking at it, keeping on going, keeping on praying. And the dictionary describes persistence as the fact of continuing in an opinion or course of action. And Webster's dictionary describes persist as to stand or be fixed, to continue steadfastly and firmly in the pursuit of any cause, to pursue, not receding from the purpose, not to give up or abandon. And we've just sung in our hymn, Love Divine, that our call is to pray and praise thee without ceasing. And I thought, good choice, Jen and Alan. You didn't know what the theme of the service is, but the Holy Spirit works like that. That's persistence. So how persistent are you at praying? How are you at praying anyway? Some of you are going, bit dodgy, Louise. Do we carry on praying and praying and praying and asking? Surely if God is almighty, which I believe that he is, hope you do too, if God is omniscient, which means that he sees everything and knows everything, then surely he's heard us when we pray, which I believe that he does. Do we need to keep on asking? If God hears us, and because he's our Father, he desires to give his children good things, he's heard us the very first time that we've prayed, do we have to keep on asking? Nagging? Well, yes and no. That's what we're going to be thinking about today. Because I believe that God hears us the very first time that we pray, because God is nearer to us than our every breath. God knows what we're going to ask even before we ask it. Because God made us and loves us, and the Bible tells us that even the hairs on our head, which is different for some of you gentlemen in this congregation today, even the hairs in Alan's beard are numbered because the ones on his head are not. Sorry, Alan. Sorry, that was really unkind of me. I do apologise. But God says even the hairs on our head are numbered. That's how much he knows us, that he knows even that intimate detail. Because he's known us from before. He's going to lay hands on me later on. I'm in trouble. Because he's known us from before we were born, from before baby Joshua was born. God knew him inside out. And that same God has known each one of us from our mother's womb and before, and knows everything about us now. And so he hears us. He hears the longings of our hearts, those things that don't even make it into a prayer. All of that is known already. We're heard. But we still need to ask. Jesus tells us in our readings today about two stories about the value of persistence. He was an example of persistence in prayer. If you know your Bible, you'll know that Jesus spent 40 days in the desert, 40 days and nights, praying and fasting in the wilderness. He spent whole nights in prayer with his Father. It was a pattern of life for him. And today we're thinking about the story in two places in Luke. The first one is the story of the persistent widow. That's the title that she's given by those who put the Bible together. It's a parable. It's a story that has a deeper meaning. And Jesus frequently used parables as a way of showing what God was like, as a way of explaining what the kingdom of God was like. They're made to make you think, but often they've got little twists in the tale at the end. Now, I don't know about you, I wonder what your favourite TV programme is. There is a link, don't worry. I love TV. I tend to binge watch on my day off. I catch up on everything that I've missed during the week. There are some things that I always have to watch. Have to watch the news every day. I have to know what's going on in the world. When the Great British Bake Off is on, gotta watch the Great British Bake Off. We love that. I am completely addicted to Grey's Anatomy. If anybody likes Grey's Anatomy, awesome TV program. Love a bit of a medical drama. I love science fiction. And in our house, we love First Dates. Anyone watch First Dates? We love First Dates in our house. Haven't quite lowered myself to Love Island yet. I suspect some of you love, anyone, any great Love Island? Haven't quite managed that yet. Nor have I ever seen an episode of Downton Abbey. I know. It's on a Sunday. I don't think it's on anymore, is it? You got the box set. Okay. Never seen that, nor have I seen Game of Thrones. There's a look of shock and horror at the back. What do you mean you've never seen the Game of Thrones? Have you got the box set? You can lend me the box set. But my secret guilty pleasure, Alan loves antique programs. I'm just picking on you all the way through the service. Sorry, Alan. But my secret guilty pleasure, you're going to judge me, is Judge Judy. Anybody seen Judge Judy when you're flicking through the channels? Judge Judy. It's my secret guilty pleasure. If you've seen it, she's a real judge, a real life judge. And she's deciding on small claims in a reality TV courtroom. But everyone who comes to her for judgments have to sign a legal contract, and they're bound by her decision. And it is really compelling viewing. They seem to gather the world's stupidest people in one room. It's amazing. Quite like Judge Rinder as well. But I'm really sad, aren't I? Really. Okay, we could have a binge watching of Judge Judy. It's excellent. She's a bit of a toughie. She's not a woman to mess with. She doesn't take falls gladly. I wonder how she would have dealt with our story today. The woman who, we're told, was pestering the judge again and again. I have a picture of her. It's probably not an accurate picture. We're told that this woman had been mistreated. Widows in Jesus' day had a really tough time. They had few rights, so few rights that they weren't even allowed to inherit their husband's property if the husband had died. They were at the mercy of the male relatives in their family, and if they didn't care, they were out, literally, in the cold. And we get the sense in our story today that this woman was not going to go down without a fight. She was really plucky. And she says, I'm not having this. I will make sure that justice is done for me. And so she pesters the judge. She keeps going back. I can imagine her knocking on his door going, hello, I'm still here. Hello. She nags. And she nags so much that she actually wears him down. And he can get the sense that he's really annoyed with her. He's had enough of her. He gives in, not because he thinks that she's right, because we're told he's not particularly caring, but because he's fed up of her, nagging at him. And it's a great story. And we're told, Jesus says, that we need to use this story as an example of persistent prayer. Interesting. Which makes it sound slightly like that God will grant our prayers because he's sick of us asking. which really is not the point of the parable at all. The point of the story is this. The widow's persistence is compared to the character of the judge who does not care. And we're told that of God, our Father, who does care, how much more, we're told, will our good judge and Father bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night. It's about the character of God who hears our prayers just as much as it is about the widow who keeps on asking. It's about not losing heart in the asking, because we trust in the one who's listening to answer. When we're ready, when the ground is ripe and prepared, it's about not losing heart when we're waiting for an answer that's not been given yet. And it's the same thing in our second story about the persistent neighbour. Luke tells us this parable. There's an emerging theme here, isn't there? Anyone would think we planned it. A persistent neighbour who knocks on the door in the middle of the night and asks for 3 loaves of bread to feed his visitors. Now, I don't know about you, what your reaction would be if your doorbell goes in the middle of the night and your next door neighbour is going, "Can I have 3 loaves of bread because I'm having a party?" I possibly wouldn't have been very gracious. I would have probably opened the window and gone, "Have you not heard of Tesco's? 24 hours, they're open." But they couldn't do that in Jesus' day, because hospitality was a very important value of faith. It couldn't be ignored. It was the height of rudeness. And the midnight visitors had to be welcomed and fed. Jesus' argument is this: even if the sleeping householder was inclined to refuse, he would listen because of the persistent request. If you can hardly imagine a neighbor refusing you, can you imagine God refusing you? Says Jesus. Of course not. Well, how much more will God give you when you ask? Again, it's about the character of God as well as the nature of persistent asking. Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you." He says, "Persevere in prayer." One of my favorite authors is C.S. Lewis. And there was a film showed about his the story of him and his wife, particularly the story of his wife, Joy, when she had cancer. When C.S. Lewis was told that people were praying for his wife and that God was answering him, this is what he said: "That's not why I pray. I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God, it changes me." Prayer is about fostering a relationship with God, about spending time, getting to know him, and allowing ourselves to be known in return. It's about being shaped in relationship. It's not a message in a bottle that we chuck at God, hoping that it will end up on his seashore. It's about relationship. We speak to God, and God touches and shapes and embraces us back. It's about intimacy. Persistence in prayer is for our sake. It's not for God's. If we always got exactly what we wanted the first time we asked God for it, it'd be like treating God as if he's Aladdin's genie. And, you know, if I got everything I asked for, I would have the body of a supermodel. I would have the ministry of Billy Graham, and Gary Barlow would be in the band every week. How awesome would that be? But Kath, you're good. Sorry, Kath. I'm in trouble now. Sometimes we pray and we treat God as if he's a genie, that we want what we want at the click of our prayer fingers. Give us what we want, whether or not we actually need it. And so that's the big question, is what is it that we want? Persistence deepens our relationship with God and asks us that big question. Is it what God wants for us? Is it his will for our lives? Do you want God even more than what you're praying for? If not, then God, well, for God to grant what you're asking him, even if it's a good thing, might be the most unloving thing God could do. Persistence demands patience and waiting, and that's hard. I am the most impatient person I know. But it's impatience that's the ground of spiritual growth. God wants to grow us, and in prayer, that's what he does. Rather than come to God with a whole shopping list of what we want, God shapes us and purifies our wants. And one of my favorite authors says this, Henry Nouwen says, you must be patient until your hands are completely open. It's about God shaping us so that what we want is more like what he wants. That's about persistence. The Apostle Paul prayed again and again that the thorn in his flesh, whatever that was, would be removed. We're not told what it was, but it was something that was really troubling him. But God doesn't answer his prayer as he prays it. Instead, Paul is changed as he's praying. He prays, he's shaped. And his prayers change to help him rely on the God of grace, of strength that's made perfect in weakness. And God shapes him in the waiting, in the asking. That's the point of prayer. Jesus says that we're to pray with persistence. And that takes perseverance. That takes patience. And so he reminds us not to lose heart. To persist. To keep on going. Because he's in it with us. And because in that we're shaped and honed and made more beautiful as we learn from him, as we lean into him and depend on him to mold us. And we're reminded this morning that when we persist with God in confidence, that he persists with us. Even when he's waiting for the penny to drop in our lives. There's probably several of us, several folk here that don't know about Jesus and what he's done for us and aren't in a relationship with Jesus today. But he's still persisting with you. You might know him, might not know him, but he still knows you and wants to know you back, wants you to know him, and is persisting with you in what is troubling you. In what brings you joy, wants you to bring that to him in relationship. And that's the point of the cross. We sing and we talk about the cross. It's a love story. The story of God who pursues us in relationship and loves us so much that Jesus takes on our sin and nails it to a cross because God pursues us in love. So our challenge today is to persist in prayer, to carry on going, to pray and not give up, to carry on believing that God is there. And to close, I'd like to share one more quotation. It struck me this week. God is in the process of redemption for the long haul. My persistent praying says, count me in. I won't cut and run when the answers are slow in coming. Instead of drumming impatient fingers, I'm going to use that hand to knock firmly on heaven's door again and again. Are you up for that? Do you need to learn to be more persistent in your praying and therefore allow God to shape you to be more like him, more like Jesus? I wonder if some of us have given up praying because we've prayed for something. Something that took a lot to ask for, and we did not get the answer we wanted. Or seemingly we felt that God did not respond. Perhaps we've stopped believing that God can, that God is limited in his power in our eyes. I'm going to ask the band to come forward, and I haven't asked you this, Kath, but can you play something quietly? And I'm just going to pray, have a couple of moments of quiet. And I want you to ask yourself, is there something that you really want to pray for, but you've given up asking? That, you know, because it's too hard to carry on asking. You know, because you've asked and it's not been answered. Perhaps you've limited God's power in your praying and you need to say sorry for that. And so in the stillness of this moment, if you feel like you want to close your eyes and bring to God that thing or that person or that situation, or yourself to God. We're going to have a few moments quiet where you can do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you call us to you. Whoever we are, wherever life has brought us, that you know us inside out. Every hair on our head is numbered. And you long for us to connect with you. Father, if we've stopped asking, forgive us. Remind us of your presence. Remind us of your power. Remind us that it's in the waiting and in the autumn and winter times of our seasons of life that you are doing things behind the scenes when you're growing seeds of hope and future. Give us seeds of faith to see that this morning. And Father, would you bubble up in us, whoever needs it, those seeds of salvation faith, those seeds of fresh belief in your power and in your goodness. Because of Jesus, we pray. Amen.